We are approaching the midpoint of this psalm. There's 118 words in this psalm, and we're at the midpoint of it tonight. Psalm 23, verse number 4. There is a turning point in verse number 4. Hopefully you can pick up on it, notice it. But there is extreme turning point in this verse. Let me read it to you. Verse number 4, yea, that means yes, definitely. Let's put it this way. It means definitely. Definitely. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. 99% of the people you know will read that text, and most of you did, and did not notice the change in the pronouns. Up to now, it's been talking about him. Now in the middle of this verse, and as a matter of fact, in the center of this psalm, the word thou appears. It changes now from talking about him to talking to him. How many times have both I and my brother said to you, when you talk about him long enough, yes, he'll show up. Yes, sir. Then you can start talking to him. When we talk about him in the service, he'll show up. Then we can begin to communicate with him personally. That is a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes on the scene when we begin to brag about him. And that's what the sheep's been doing. Up to this point, he's been bragging on the shepherd. Now the shepherd shows up and he just starts talking to him. What a difference.
Yes.
What a blessing. What a rapture in reality to be talking about him and then all of a sudden just start talking to him. Here he is talking to him. I said to you, the word yea means yes, definitely. So the little sheep is not putting this thing in an arbitrary manner, but he's saying, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
It's a definite thing. Yea, though I walk through. It's a tremendous thought. All of us have valleys we're going to pass through. God didn't design these valleys for us to go into and die, but rather he designed these valleys to take us through. Again, that development stage is there. As long as you're in this world, God is going to continue to develop us into what he has planned for us to be. We're going to get there. It is predestined that we conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Do you suppose it may happen? If God predestines it to be so, then it must take place. Is that right?
Yes, right?
Because he's God. So then we are predestined to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Now you may say, well, now that's going to be after we get over there. Yeah, it is in the full sense of the word. But while we're down here, we're progressing along the way. And we're doing that because we're passing through some valleys. Some valleys are not so dark. Some are extremely dark. Some valleys are valleys that would bring death were the shepherd not present. Look at the sheep's condition, if you will. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. One of the most important things you'll ever learn in your Christian walk is that when you go into a valley, you go there because the shepherd is leading you there. Did you hear that?
Yes.
You go there because the shepherd is leading you there. Now, if the shepherd is leading me through that valley, then why should I fear? Sure. See, the whole of fear passes away because thou art with me.
Yes.
Boy, doesn't that phrase come in there in a very logical place?
Yes.
Doesn't it show up in the extreme point to where it proves to us that God will never leave us alone?
Amen.
Here I am in the midst of the valley, but I'm not alone. In the midst of my valley, He is with me.
Yes.
No matter how deep the valley, no matter how high the walls, no matter how treacherous it may be, I'm walking through this valley, and I'm walking through this valley because He's with me. Now, if I try to walk through the valley myself, I may perish along the way. But this valley is a valley that God has designed for me, and I shall walk through it.
Yes.
And by the way, when I come out the other side, I'm going to come out the other side shouting it out.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. It's too many of us. Too many of us are silent when we get through that valley. And far too many of us would like to say, look what I've done. Boy, I just barely made it through that one. Yeah, you wouldn't have made it at all had the shepherd not been there.
Amen.
The beauty of the valley is that He is with us. The flowers bloom in the valley. In the valley, the richest soil is present. Here is where growth really takes place. Not up on the mountainside and the rocky cliffs. No, growth takes place in the valley. And God will bring us to that point somewhere in life where we will understand, and some of you are getting there right now, that you'll understand that the valley is really good for you. Remember where we left off last week? And this thing of it being good for God never brings anything in our life that is not for our development, for our good and for His glory. Not just one-sided, for our good and for His glory. So when you pass through this valley and you get out on the other side, you need to be giving God the glory, not saying, look what I've done. I almost died in there. No, you didn't almost die in there. You couldn't have died in there. Boy, isn't that a good thought? Hallelujah. Woo! I think I'll just run a while. Hallelujah. Think about that. You can't die in that valley. This is not death's valley for you. No, He's with you. And as long as He's with you, you can't die in the valley.
That's right.
Death may lurk on every corner, behind every stone, in every cave, at every ledge, death may lurk there, but it cannot touch you because He's with you.
Amen.
Harm is everywhere, but it cannot harm you. Why? Because He's there.
Sure.
The shepherd is with us through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You ever been shot with a shadow of a .45? Shadow of a .45 won't hurt you. You ever been struck by the shadow of a snake? No. The shadow of a snake can't harm you, can it? I want you to get a hold of something here. If you don't catch anything else I say tonight, I want you to catch a hold of this and just run with it for a while. Some of you ought to run anyhow. You're about to get onto something here and it'll help you the rest of your life. Get a hold of this. Shadows. Yes. There must be something that casts the shadow, but the shadow has no pain. The shadow has no power. The shadow can do nothing to you. When I was a boy, on Sunday afternoon, there was a program that came on that I listened to. It's called The Shadow. How many of you remember that? Oh, look here. Some of you folks are old. The shadow. Yeah. You remember that? How that said that? The shadow. The shadow can't bother you. The shadow has no substance, does it? No. Absolutely not. So the shadow then of death cannot bother you. Often we are frightened of shadows, aren't we? You'll get frightened of a shadow. Sometimes they'll get our attention, won't they? The shadow. I remember I was a teenage boy, and none of the other boys were asleep in the same room with me because I wanted the windows open in the wintertime. I came in, hung my clothes on the bedstead. That was back when the beds had them big, long, you know. And I hang my clothes up there and throw my cap right on top of that and went to bed. Well, somewhere along in the morning, I'm hearing something, and I try to make out what it is. And the more I try to make out what it is, the more I hear this scraping noise. And I look at the foot of my bed, and there it stands, off in the floor, the shadow. And I'm saying, whatever that is fixing to get a hold of me. But it never moves. I'm waiting for it to move, and it never moves. But the noise keeps up. In a few moments of rational thinking, I realize the noise are my eyelashes on the pillowcase. That's the scraping noise. And then I think, well, now I've solved this problem. Who is this at the foot of my bed? And then finally I realize, hey, this fellow at the foot of my bed, I put him there before I went to bed. You can get frightened of things from time to time. And most of the time, those frightening things are things that we have both imagined and built by ourselves. The shadow cannot bother you. Here is a marvelous truth. What is it? 1 Corinthians 15, 54, 55. O grave, O death. See, both of them are gone. Both of them are gone. O death, where is thy sting? Stinger's pulled out. O grave, where is thy victory? You see, Christ took both of those away. So as a believer, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no pain, fear no ill. If we could ever understand, now watch this. This door is death. For the believer, heaven is on the other side. I must pass through the door to get to heaven. Well, hallelujah. Yeah. I must pass through. Do you understand that? If Jesus doesn't come, this is the design for us to get out of here to heaven. You're not going to take this frail, beaten, worn body to another world. We have a new one waiting for us. Isn't that exciting? As a matter of fact, it gets more exciting every day for me. And now, Gary, it's going to start getting more exciting every day for you. The very fact that this thing will be laid aside and we'll pick up a new body, a body that is capable of living eternally and capable of enjoying heaven. If you went to heaven like you are, you wouldn't last long. Your heart couldn't take it. You'd go wild. But God gives us a new body. And we get there through death or through the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've thought down through the years that Jesus would come before I die. I still believe that. I still believe. You know what? I have questioned saints down through the years, both those that are older and have already gone on and younger, and right on through the age gap, I've asked them, do you believe Jesus will come during your lifetime? Guess what they told me? Yes. Yes. There's just something about the Holy Ghost giving us the assurance that Jesus is coming. Yes. Now, He doesn't tell us when, but He keeps us excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus, doesn't He? Yeah. Now, whether He comes for us in life or whether He comes for us in death, we still are going to make that journey. But if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is no harm. There is no pain. Because the shadow cannot cause you harm and will not cause you pain. Now watch this. Just how this unfolds. Look at it again. I will fear no evil. Now why will he fear no evil? Look at the next phrase. For thou. By the way, there's 118 words here. I mentioned that a moment ago. 118 words. When you have an even number, you have to have two words as the center, right? For thou. For thou. For thou. Hallelujah. In the midst of this psalm, for thou. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you noticed or not, but this Bible is put together marvelously. Not just slung together, by someone down there thought they'd write something one day, but this thing is put together marvelously. And the center of this chapter, for thou, it's all about him. It's all about him. This psalm is not about the sheep. It's about the shepherd. The sheep is describing the shepherd. The sheep is telling us about the shepherd. And it's the shepherd that's in vogue here. It's the shepherd that's in view constantly throughout the chapter. For thou, for thou. Do you know what the center two words are of the Bible? The Lord. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Out of all of the words in the Bible, it just turns out that the center two words of your Bible are the Lord. And here in the center of this verse, for thou, again it's the Lord, isn't it? For thou. Now watch this. The only reason the little sheep makes it through the valley is why? Because thou art with me. Hebrews 13:5. We are told that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Back in 1 Kings and Solomon's prayer, Solomon prays, Lord, don't leave us nor forsake us. The psalmist declares, the Lord shan't leave us nor forsake us. And now here, the Hebrew letter says, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How about that? How deep is the valley? Doesn't make any difference. How long is the valley? What difference does it make? Valleys do get long. If it's a real valley, then it's going to have some length to it. Now, if it's a mud hole, there won't be a whole lot of length to it. But if it's a valley, there's going to be a length to it. Some time is going to be consumed here. But what difference does it make? What difference does it make? If he's with us, what difference does it make? For in the midst of that valley, your communion will be sweeter than it's ever been up on the high country. Oh, you may be able to rejoice and shout it out because the valley is down there and you're up here. But in the midst of that valley, you're going to have sweeter communion than you'll ever have in the high country. In the midst of that valley, you're going to find out who God is. I've heard sermon after sermon preached about how and why trials come so God can find out if your faith is enough to carry you through. That's hogwash. Can I tell you something? That's hogwash. God never sends you through anything to find out what you are and whether or not your faith's going to last. That's not the purpose of it at all. The purpose of it is for us to understand who God is, yes, and to know that God, yes, will take us through this valley. Yes. God's purpose is to show us himself and his power in the midst of our valleys. Yes. When the children of Israel were going across the Red Sea, they were looking at water on either side. And they were on dry ground. As they were going through there, though they were rushing to get through, in order to get through that night, they had to rush. They were rushing to get through. Now hang on to this. But while they were rushing to get through, they were seeing the water on either side piled up, if you will. They had to say, what a God. What a God. Well, they did say that on the other side, didn't they? They sang a song and rejoiced as to what God had done. Yes. So how he had brought them through on dry ground and drowned Pharaoh's army. Glory. When you're going through the valley, you'll look up every once in a while and see the depth of the thing and you'll wonder, will I ever? Is there any hope in this circumstance? Now don't tell me you haven't been there. If you've been in the household of faith very long, you've been exactly where I'm talking about right now. And you said, am I going to make it through this valley? And then that miraculous power from another world whispers in your ear and lets you know he's with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. You're not talking to somebody reading a book. Are you hearing me? I didn't read it in a book. God's letting me experience what I'm telling you right now. And the greatest thing is to know that he is there. And after a while, you stop questioning. And you know, Brother Gary, This is God's design for your life, and He's with you all the way. So what difference does it make otherwise? Because this is His design for my life at this time. That's why, that in whatsoever state I am, I'm to be what? Content. Content. And let me tell you something, that's not an easy thing to do sometimes. Not an easy thing to do. But we become content when we're assured that He's with us. I refer to this from time to time. Some of you can remember the days of black and white TV. Remember that? The old Carnation commercial. Remember that?
Yes.
Old cows are out in the field, and they'll do a close-up on one, and she's chewing the cud. Looks like my wife chewing chewing gum. And this deep voice comes on and says, "Carnation, the milk from contented cows." You see, they had an insight that most of us don't have. That old cow is chewing the cud because she's content. Her belly's full. She's had plenty of water. She's been treated right. And she's standing in the shade, chewing the cud, contented. When we're contented, we're assured that He's with us.
Yes.
And let me tell you something, you'll never be assured that He's with you by me telling you He's there. You'll be assured that He's with you when you know His divine presence in the midst of your storm. When He stands and says, "Peace be still," and the waves of your life, the storm just ceases, and the sun comes out, and you're on the other side. When He speaks, when He speaks. And I want to leave you with this tonight. I'm not going to deal with the other thoughts tonight. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say. Please hear this. Until He speaks, faith will never be a reality. I can say it all day long. You can hear it preached. You can hear it taught. But until He speaks, you'll never know what faith is. Let me show you this and I'm finished. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, one of the most maligned passages of Scripture in the Bible. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now let me assure you, you're going to hear it preached. If you hear the Word of God, if I preach to you the Word of God, if you read the Word of God, then you're going to have faith. That's not what that verse says. Now check me out and you go home tonight and see if I'm telling you the truth. Go to Strong's Concordance and look up the word in that passage. You're going to find that it is the word rhema, not logos, rhema. Logos is the written. Rhema is the spoken word. But it's not me speaking it, it's God speaking it. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Let me say it this way. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God speaking." Now, there is no doctrine in the New Testament unless it has its root in the Old. Why did Noah build an ark? Somebody spoke to him. Who did it? Why did Abraham leave the Ur of the Chaldees? Why did Moses lead the children of Israel out of bondage? God spoke to every one of them, didn't He? They didn't have a King James Bible. They didn't have a King George Bible. God spoke. And when God spoke, faith became a reality. Now here's the truth of the matter. Listen carefully. When God speaks to you, faith becomes a reality. And until God speaks to you, you'll never know eternal life. God must speak faith into you, and God must speak life into you. We are dead in trespasses and sin. Is that right?
Yes.
That's exactly what the text says. We're dead in trespasses and sin. If we're dead in trespasses and sin, then that means me talking to you is not going to bring you alive. I took a young preacher friend of mine a number of years ago to the mortuary. And we walked in and there was a stiff laying on the cooling board. I took out my New Testament and I started reading. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing exactly what you do. Every time you go in the pulpit, I'm doing exactly what you do. Now let's see what happens here. Guess what happened? It just embarrassed him to death. Now why did I do that? Do you understand why I did that? Because I proved to him that reading the Bible to a dead man brings nothing. But if God speaks to that dead man, remember there are two things a dead man can do. I know you thought he could just lay there and rot, right? That's all. No, but there's two things a dead man can do. Number one, he can hear the voice of God. Amen. Ask Lazarus. Ask the widow of Nain's son. Ask Jairus' daughter. Hello? Ask the crowd that comes alive when he takes us out of here. Ask every born-again believer. You remember when God... You may not have heard an audible voice, and you probably didn't. If you did, I have questions. But God spoke to your mind, and something happened inside you that you can't explain to this day. But you changed from loving the world to loving Him. Where you didn't want to go before, now you want to go. And where you wanted to go before, now you don't want to go. Amazing grace starts sounding sweeter all the time, doesn't it? Huh? So a dead man can hear the voice of God. Secondly, a dead man can feel the touch of God. He touched the bear, and the young man sat up. Isn't that amazing? Dead men can do some things. They can respond to God. And that's exactly what we did when God spoke to us. We responded to God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God speaking. And so in your valley, when you hear Him speak, and you will, because you're not there alone. Are you listening to me? You're not there alone. You'll hear Him speak. In the midst of your midnight, you'll hear the song. You'll hear the shepherd. And He'll remind you that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. He is with you through the valley. And faith takes hold of God, because faith needs nothing but God. Father, thank You for taking us into the valley. For it would not be there, we would not be there had You not taken us there. Thank You for taking us through the valley. Thank You for loving us enough to take us through the valley. In Jesus' name, amen.